You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. And last night's State of the Union address, President Joe Biden didn't mention former president and presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump's name, but he did reference his likely opponent in the 2024 presidential race many times, using the phrase, my predecessor. He cited policy and character differences with Trump and the previous administration, as well as more recent statements from Trump.
A former Republican president tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
Meanwhile, on the campaign trail, Trump faces felony charges, 91 of them, and the timelines of those cases could have an impact on the 2024 campaign. Looks like a Biden-Trump race is for sure now after a Super Tuesday win by both candidates. We're going to check in on that, on the State of the Union, Trump's trials, and how they fit into the overall campaign. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What were your thoughts on the State of the Union address last night? Did you like what you saw from President Biden? What stood out to you? What questions do you have about former President Trump's charges against him, civil cases, criminal cases? As a voter, do they matter when it comes to the election in November to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Schultz is Distinguished University Professor and Winston Folkers Endowed Distinguished Faculty Chair at Hamline University in the Departments of Political Science, Legal Studies, and Environmental Studies. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with last night's State of the Union address. Yeah, sometimes these are laundry lists of every little thing our administration has done, whoever the president might be. Did this feel more like a campaign speech than usual to you, David?
This was definitely a campaign speech, and I think the president had to do two different things, and I'll be curious to see what the listeners think. I think first, he had to draw a contrast between himself and Trump, and I think he did that last night. Whether people are persuaded by it, I don't know. But the second thing that I think he needed to do was to deliver it in a way to start to try to address the issues regarding his age and health. Because one of the things that I think we have to admit, especially after the special prosecutor a few weeks released a report deciding not to go after Biden because of the documents issue, people have been talking about beyond a whisper about is Biden too old? Is he up to being president of the United States? And I've seen conflicting reports back and forth. And again, I'll be curious from your listeners. Some people are saying that he pulled it off last night. He gave enough to sort of reassure the public that he's got the vigor to be able to do it. Others said, no, didn't do it, or he came across as an angry old man. But certainly he had to worry about both the message and the delivery. And again, we're going to see over the next few days, according to the polls, what the public thinks.
To what extent do State of the Union addresses matter in an election year? It was 8 months out for the actual election itself. Do we tend to remember these things when it comes to November?
Generally, we don't remember them, and they kind of become, I guess, footnotes somewhere along the line. But this one, I think, was kind of important in a way because, again, we've got all these controversies swirling out there about his health, about and again, even among Democrats. I think what the New York Times released a poll late last week that said that a majority of Democrats think he's too old to be president of the United States at this point. So I think he needed to do something to start to change the narrative, because I do think that the narrative right now is the story about his age, about his capacity, his stamina, maybe his mental acuity to stay on as president. So I think he needed to start to address that. And I also want to say at some point, you know, he did something smart. He put his age out there front and center and talked about it in reference to the fact that he was a very young senator. And now with age comes wisdom. Again, whether he has convinced people, I don't know, but I think he had to start to do that now.
Let's bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. Artis is with us in Pewaukee. Artis, hi.
He talked about it. He referenced that he was a very dinner. And now...
I'm just hearing Artis' radio, I think. Well, let's put Artis back on hold and see if we can get that squared away. We're talking to David Schultz from Hamline University, looking at the presidential race. David, we are talking about this now. We got the State of the Union. We'll get to the Trump charges in just a bit. This is a pivotal week in some ways. I think up until maybe Super Tuesday, there was the vague thought that we could have something other than a Trump-Biden race, as unlikely as that seemed. We've got a Biden-Trump race now, right? That's just what we got.
We do at this point because the main challenger to Donald Trump was Nikki Haley, and she bowed out the day after Super Tuesday. And at the same time, not that there was much of a challenge, but Dean Phillips, who represents the state of Minnesota, who's a congressman in Minnesota, not far from where I live, was also the main challenger. And he has also bowed out. And in his case, he's endorsed Biden. Haley has not yet endorsed Trump, which will be an interesting question here. But the other thing, which is important, and again, this is the state of Minnesota, and we had in Minnesota about 19% of the people who showed up to vote cast a vote for uncommitted here, much like what we had in Michigan. The other side of, let's put it this way, the other border state to Wisconsin, we had a couple of weeks ago, what was it, about 100,000 voters, if I remember correctly, also voted non-committed. And so one of the issues here is, even though it does look like Trump versus Biden, unless something totally unexpected happens here, we've got a certain segment of the Democratic Party population concerned about Biden in terms of his issues with Gaza and Israel. And we have a certain percentage of the Republican population voters, maybe 30, maybe 40%, who are not completely behind Trump. So for two individuals, Trump and Biden, who are essentially both running as incumbents, they don't have their entire parties behind them right now, even though they face no serious opposition. And it'll be curious to see over the next few months how both of them do their best to try to, let's say, get their parties, their bases, everybody behind them, because both candidates need full energy of their bases and full support of their bases if they're going to win the election.
Let's go to our callers now. Willem is with us in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. As far as the candidates go, I think, you know, Joe Biden, you might disagree with his policies, but I think he's a decent person. Where on the other hand, the former president is already saying that if he doesn't win re-election, it'll be another stolen election. So he's already inciting the riot that he did on January 6th. He has 91 felony indictments. He's been convicted of sexual assault. He's no longer allowed to do business in the state of New York. He lies as easily as he breathes. So the party of Lincoln, Honest Abe, has become the party of a ridiculous liar like Donald Trump.
Well, thanks for the call. One clarification there. Trump wasn't convicted of sexual assault. In a civil case, a jury ruled that he was liable and had committed sexual assault. Slight legal distinction, but important, I think, David. But Willem, bringing up the felony convictions, another thing we were hoping to talk to you, or felony charges, right. Excuse me, right. Another thing we had hoped to talk to you about. What are you watching most closely? We've got all these different cases making their way through the court system now.
Yeah. First off, again, just to remind everybody, there's been no conviction again. Right. And Donald Trump is entitled to the presumption of innocence until proven guilty, just like everybody else. And so we just want to clarify that here. But yes, there's still four possible trials along with 91 convictions. One of them is on hold right now. This is the one surrounding the events of January 6th. That is the one in which the case has been appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, where Trump is arguing that he enjoys absolute immunity from prosecution for actions that he committed while president of the United States. The Supreme Court just announced recently they're going to take the case. Briefs are due later this month. Oral arguments are due in April, decision likely by the end of June. So we're going to find out on that one in terms of what's going to happen. If the court were to say that he can still he doesn't have immunity and face trial, I could see that trial occurring in sometime in September or October. So that's a possibility. There's three other trials, by the way, too. We've got a trial later this month in New York surrounding his payoff through Michael Cohen to silence Stormy Daniels, the adult film star. And then we have the case in Atlanta, which is scheduled probably at some point in the next couple of months, perhaps, all depending on what happens down there. But then there's also the case that is down in Florida regarding his retention of documents at the Mar-a-Lago, his estate there. That case, as well as the New York case, should not be affected by the Supreme Court's ruling one way or the other about immunity. And so those are probably going to still go through. Again, the New York one, I think, later this month. I suspect the one in Florida in the next 2 to 3 months is going to happen. And then we're just going to have to see on the other two in terms of, you know, timing or how the Supreme Court's views on immunity affect things. But what I want to point out here is there's always a phrase that people use called what? The October surprise, and something that could happen in October. And I want to throw out two possibilities here. One of them is, I think one of the October surprises could very well be something happens in October regarding a trial for Trump, possibly, but remember, there's still a presumption here, possibly a conviction. I think another October surprise that could change things is the status of the Gaza-Israeli war. And then what I'm finding interesting, and tell me what you think also, I'm increasingly hearing people say to me, do you think one or both of them might have to pull out of the race because of health reasons? And that's a possibility too. I mean, so I think we've got two or three possible October surprises that could happen.
We're talking about last night's State of the Union address, as well as looking at some of the latest news around civil and criminal cases against former President Trump, all as the presidential race solidifies Biden versus Trump. Our guest is David Schultz from Hamline University. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions on those issues. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation, hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with David Schultz from Hamline University, looking at the 2024 presidential campaign, the State of the Union, the latest in charges against former President Trump. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Artis is with us in Pewaukee. Artis, hi.
Hi. As far as Biden goes, I've never had a problem with him. I'm not going to get it. I mean, I know he's not perfect, but the thing about it is, you know, did I watch the State of the Union? I'm so anxious that Trump will win. I don't think there's anything that can stick to him. Even if he got a conviction, even if he got 91 convictions, it just nothing seems to stick to him. And the idea of him becoming president again, I mean, it's bad enough that he's on the planet, but it scares me to the point where I can't deal with it. I will vote, but I can't, you know, when I watch the last election cycle, I watched every bit of it.
Artis, I gotcha. David, what do you think?
Well, I think she speaks for a lot of people across the United States in a variety of different ways. Again, public opinion polls are telling us, if they're accurate, that about 60% of the American public is not particularly thrilled about seeing a Trump versus Biden, you know, lineup again. And to make more specific to the caller who just came in here, there is still, and I think this is in part what Biden is counting on the fact that there's an awful lot of people, even if they don't like Biden himself, so dislike Donald Trump, that's going to help propel Biden into the White House again. And that's a possibility. The other thing that I think what's really interesting about Donald Trump at this point is how do people like Donald Trump and Joe Biden really raise the issue about character, you know, and where does character or people's personal lives at all fit into how the public evaluates people for office? And I think that's what the caller is also talking about here is, again, I don't want to put words in her mouth, mm-hmm. but she's saying, how could somebody who has done X, Y, Z even be considered president of the United States? And I think that's an interesting question.
Artis, thanks for the call. Nate joins us now in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me. I watched both the State of the Union and the response. from it, from this response, she called Biden dithering in the State of the Union itself. So he didn't strike me as dithering. And one of the things that I appreciated about his State of the Union is that he referred to supporting Ukraine as something the Congress ought to get done, because the Congress has been dithering on that. And most people think that as a country that has been under attack, Ukraine basically should be helped because it's the right thing to do. And it also helps make the U.S. safer in the long run.
Nate, thanks a lot for the call. David, there was a lot of that focus on aid to Ukraine in the speech, a split in among Republicans in Congress over that issue. How important an issue do you see that in the presidential campaign, though?
Probably not a big issue. I think it's still going to be mostly the issues about the economy, where most people are thinking about the economy in terms of the inflation. I think it's going to be about abortion rights. I think that's going to be where the big focus is. But I think and Biden tried to lay out other items on the agenda too, in terms of what is out there. But where I do think Ukraine fits in at this point is in terms of a question all about the national security issues, because Biden is, as in the clip that you folks played at the top of the show here, I believe, Biden is going to try to make Trump sound as if he's in Vladimir Putin's pocket and is going to squeeze him and the Republicans on the Ukraine issue. And I'll be just curious to see, you know, how that plays out, because right now, you're right, the majority of American public and actually the majority of Congress wants to provide funding to Ukraine. But I just don't think right now it's risen to the top to where people are going to say this is a make or break issue for us in terms of voting.
Nate, thanks for the call. Jimmy is with us now in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Good afternoon, gents. I didn't watch the State of the Union. There's just too much rancor and antics by the Republican side. It's just kind of a waste of time for me. I guess he did a good job. I'm not worried about his age. People have to, you're going to have to suck it up. We got what we got. There's nobody riding in on the horse to save the day. And if they did, what are they going to do? Kick Kamala Harris to curb? Yeah, that'd be a civil war in the Democratic Party. So you vote for Joe. He goes through halfway through his second term, retires. Kamala Harris becomes president, first female and woman of color president. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. Not the most rousing endorsement there, David, but Jimmy sees a path through the next couple of years.
He does, I think, at this point. And I think he speaks for a certain segment of the Democratic Party in terms of saying that Joe Biden is still our candidate. He's still better than the alternative. Vote for him. He's also the caller is trying to address what I think are some murmurings out there where some people are saying, well, should Biden keep or not keep Kamala Harris? Because if you look, again, public opinion polls, there is a lot of concern among some of the voters regarding whether or not Kamala Harris is qualified to be president. And with many people, again, still concerned about Joe Biden's age, I think what's really happening here is people are saying, well, if something were to happen to Biden, she's president. Is she qualified? And this is reminiscent of back in 2008 when John McCain picked Sarah Palin to be president of the United States. People were concerned back then regarding whether John McCain would live out 4 years, and the focus was on her in terms of her qualifications. And there's some evidence that Sarah Palin's hurt John McCain among centrists and moderates. She might have helped him among the core base, but she was an example of where a vice president candidate might have mattered because of her qualifications.
Thanks for the call. Sarah joins us now in Libertyville, Illinois. Sarah, hi.
Hi there. So I know some people personally and a lot of others online that I've talked to about how they're going to vote third party, like either for Robert Kennedy or the Green Party. And they like don't believe, they specifically have said that they don't believe that Trump is going to do these like really certain things that he has said that he's going to do, like Institute Project 2025, which is going to just, well, I I don't have time to go into that, but also, and then policies that the New York Times reported on that Stephen Miller crafted. They had an interview with him mm-hmm. about deporting every single undocumented person, rounding them up, putting them in camps.
Sarah, I got you. Thanks for the call. Just a minute or so left, David. Immigration, there's a third-party issue, but Sarah, at the end, they're talking about immigration and the border, obviously a huge issue in the speech right. and for Republicans.
Yeah, I should have included that among the top issues, again, in terms that seems to be moving the American public. Again, abortion, the economy, and the border issue in terms of securing it. I think that's a major issue that's affecting lots of people. And this is also an issue that's affecting what's happening in Congress, because there was a deal that was brokered by the Senate, bipartisan. The House didn't bring it up to vote. And it's also this deal regarding the border that's tying up issues regarding, whether you like it or not, aid to Israel, aid to Ukraine. So the border issue, I think, is a big one. And you're going to hear, I think, Trump talk about it, and Biden accuse Republicans and Trump of saying, you're standing in the way of resolving this issue.
Thanks for that call. And David, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. And thank you to the audience.
That's David Schultz, distinguished university professor at Hamline University in the departments of political science, legal studies, and environmental studies. Talked to him about last night's State of the Union address and the states of the major legal cases against former President Trump, how it all fits into the 2024 presidential campaign.